recorded live.
Welcome to Mystery Babylon News Radio on November 2nd, 2013. Tonight we're going to have a continuation, part two of a time such as this. Wayne Michael, York Glissman is aboard here tonight, and myself, Walt Stickle, and Wayne Michaels from North Carolina. So anyway, Mike.
And when the war was going badly at Valley Forge, he was instrumental in persuading the Revolution Board of War not to replace Washington with Horatio Gates. Carroll supported the war with his own private funds. And I think we touched on that on another broadcast earlier, who also was enjoined to that. And he was widely regarded as the wealthiest of all the colonists. And with the most to lose were the fight for independence to fail. But Carroll was greatly acclaimed in later life, and he outlived all the other signers of the Declaration.
And say, Mike? Yes, let's just stop here. You know, understand that Mike is reading off of a Catholic educational site. This is not his words. And I just want to recap a little. You know, a lot of times this goes over our heads, and it takes a little while for this to sink in. You see, Catholics, prior to 1776, it says, and this is being written from a Catholic perspective, it says Catholics could no longer hold office, exercise the franchise, educate their children in their faith, or worship in public. With the Declaration of Independence, all this bias and restricted ended. Now, what I want to bring out to people that's it's overlooked by all these David Barton people that jump on the bandwagon, you know, the original 13 colonies, and they lived over here for approximately 190 years before 1776. What did the Protestants gain from the American Revolution, Mike?
What did the Protestants gain?
I mean, in other words,
they
lost,
Brother Walter.
They lost.
They lost their freedoms.
In other words, the government of the United States in 1776 became a universal government.
Yep.
This has been a hard one for me to swallow, listeners.
I know that. For the years I've been after you about it, yes.
This is a hard one for
any.
Well, Mike, it's hard for anybody that's been raised in America to understand that the American Revolution give us a Catholic government.
Well, you see, the people believing the Jesuitry just taught out here, they think the American Revolution give the Protestant freedom over here. That's anything but the truth, man.
Now let me verify what I just threw out. I said a Catholic government. Well, what do you mean, Walt? A Catholic government? Well, the Freemasons were the ones that spearheaded it. Freemasonry is universalism. They can bring any god to the lodge that they want.
Sun worship. It's
sun worship. It's universalism.
Yep.
And anybody that knows the definition of Catholicism, it's universalism. So right in front of everybody, understand, we brought up on the last broadcast, you know, there were a group of people. They were called the Loyalists. Over 100,000. There was went to Canada. I mean, there was people that understood what was going on. You see, in other words, there's two sides to this revolution, and the side we were only taught and raised with one side. For years, I thought, well, everybody wanted to get away from that big nasty. Oh, gosh, that England who was taxed.
Mother England.
We wanted to get away from England. I mean,
That's the way it seemed.
That is the way it's painted. That's the way it's painted. So anyway, I don't want to interrupt. This is a very interesting article and understand, Mike, Mike didn't write this. This is coming off.
The part here I'm reading, I didn't write this.
No.
From a Catholic relative.
Yes.
Of the original Carroll family.
That's right. This is. I mean, they're telling you just the way it was, and we're just filling in the pieces and explaining that the Protestants didn't gain anything from the American Revolution. They lost.
The Catholics did, because it just opened the door for them to practice everything they wanted. Holding the wafer, eating the wafer, and practicing sun worship.
And they were able to practice their superstitious, idolatrous religion, which is brought up in the, on the Royal Declaration, which the king and queen had to swear. No. But in layman's words, the king and queen had to say, no, we will not allow that superstitious, idolatrous religion to be practiced in our country.
Right. The Jesuits were being beheaded and everything else over there for trying to practice this sun worship. Yep. And the same over here.
Yes.
So instead of standing out openly fighting as they had through the Dark Ages and so forth, this time they come through the door quiet behind the scenes and nobody knows about it.
Yep.
And let me tell you something, brother. They have perfected this to the best of their ability, and they still are continuing this.
And you know something? See, I've in this broadcast here, I've pulled out the plugs. There's no bouncing around the issue. This country was founded. This is the only country that the Jesuits founded. They fomented and founded, and they financed. They own this country, lock, stock, and barrel.
Since the day of its inception.
Now, brothers and sisters who listen to this, and listeners, this is not out. This is just giving you true history. We have 6 out of the 9 chief justices that are Catholic today. Who do you think runs the legislation? They run every facet of our government, from the Federal Reserve to our money. This government is a Jesuit government. And the goal of the Jesuits is to purge this country of the liberal Catholics and God-fearing people.
Absolutely.
I mean, I want to say this. When we start talking, we're running a little out of time, but listen, this is very important. This is not anti-Catholic.
Nope.
If the people in the streets understood what was going on, they would rise up. And this is, in other words, and it's not with guns. This is not about guns, grabbing a gun. No. This is ignorance. This is, if we had a spiritual awakening, the Bible doesn't say it's going to happen, but in other words, a spiritual awakening would put this down without firing a bullet. Bullets will not stop this. Guns won't stop this. This is a spiritual war. So we got 5 minutes, Mike, and you can continue there where it says Daniel Carroll of Rock Creek. That's where you lost your place.
No, I didn't lose my place. I know where I'm at.
Okay.
Daniel Carroll of Rock Creek, 1730 to 1796, was a member of the Continental Congress from 1781 to 1783, signer of the Articles of the Confederation. He was a delegate to the Constitutional Convention and one of only 2 Catholic signers of the United States Constitution. And it was a con. The other Catholic signer was Thomas Fitzsimmons of Pennsylvania. And at the Constitutional Convention, Daniel Carroll played an essential role in formulating the limitation of the powers of the federal government. He was author of the presumption enshrined in the Constitution that powers not specifically delegated to the federal government were reserved to the states or to the people. But Daniel Carroll later became a member of the first U.S. Congress, 1789-91. He was also a member of the first Senate of Maryland, where he served the time of his death. He was appointed by Mr. Washington as one of the first 3 commissioners of the new federal city that is now known as the District of Columbia, named after Mr. Columbus, another little Catholic founder, like I said. In today's terminology, he would have been considered the mayor of Washington, D.C. Uh, I'm going to read this last paragraph real quick and we'll stop. John Carroll, from 1735 to 1815. Daniel Carroll's younger brother was educated in Europe, joined the Jesuit order, and was ordained a priest. He founded a private school for boys. Yeah, we know what that's all about, too, don't we? Hello? And named it after the town where it was located, Georgetown, a port on the Potomac River that later became part of Washington, D.C. He went on to be elected by all the Catholic priests in America to become America's first Catholic bishop. He later became Archbishop of Baltimore, and in any procession of American bishops, the Archbishop of Baltimore always goes last in recognition of its role as America's oldest diocese. See, behind the scenes, they always hide. They don't want to be put out in the open. Just like Biden, you never hear nothing about him, but rest assured, he's doing the work. In 1789, which is 13 years plus 1776, like I mentioned previously, John Carroll founded the college in Georgetown that later became known as Georgetown University. Now, folks, like Walter's brought out, and I think it's in a very, very important part, and we're going to let York get in here a minute, and we are not Catholic bashers. Anybody that has heard me thinks that right off because they never really listened to what we actually stand for and what we're trying to teach and what walls we're trying to break down here. It has nothing to do with the Catholic people, the laity, the people that just go to these buildings out here and give their monies to these men dressed up in this garb who think they're God. It's not against that. It's against these men in garb who are lying, keeping the people out of the kingdom of God. That's what we're standing against. Brother York, have you something to say regarding these things? Please interject, brother.
York's not here right now. But listen, let's go another 5 minutes here. It's not going to hurt anything to go another 5 minutes and finish this article.
Okay.
Go ahead. Let's finish this. We're almost done. Go ahead.
During a period when the Revolutionary War was going badly, Washington asked John Carroll, now listen, folks, George Washington. One founding father asked John Carroll, another founding father, both Catholics, to join a mission to go to Canada to seek support of the French for the colonies. And Benjamin Franklin, Samuel Chase, and Charles Carroll of Carrollton were the others on the four-man mission. Now, while it did fail to establish a relationship with the French, much influenced by the Catholic faith, no doubt, they held in common with the Carrolls. It bore, and look today out there with Canada. So, it bore fruit years later at Yorktown, where the largely Catholic-financed French fleet cut off supplies to British General Charles Cornwallis, and Washington was able to force Cornwallis to surrender and bring the war to an end. Now, John Carroll was an intimate friend of George Washington. They lived across the river from one another. He wrote a prayer at the time of Washington's inauguration, asking God's blessing on the President, Congress, government of the United States, a prayer still much in use today. Yeah, which God is that on the back of your dollar bill that's being worshipped? Not the God of heaven and not the God of the Bible, not the His son, the creator of all there is, but Lucifer, the prince of this earth. Out of gratitude for John Carroll's support during the war, Washington gave a modified version of the seal, the Great Seal, of the United States to the institution that is now Georgetown University, and that seal is still in use today. Now, despite their enormous contribution to the American founding, the three Carrolls somehow fell below the radar screen of recognition as full-fledged founding fathers. And like I said, that's how they operate. Less is more. Perhaps that was because they were Catholics in a country and a culture that for many years was overwhelmingly Protestant.
Yeah, I'd like to comment, Mike, on the last sentence. Despite their enormous contributions to the American founding, the three Carrolls somehow fell below the radar screen of recognition. Well, there's a reason why they're below the radar screen. Listen, you can ask the average American, the average person on the street, have you ever heard of Charles Carrolls? Or you can either have you heard of the Carroll family? the chart, you know, and listen, they don't, no one knows, and I used to say this, and I don't say this to be sarcastic, but if you don't understand the Carrolls and the Carrolls' involvement in the revolution, there's no way you can ever connect the dots with the American Revolution.
Nope. And it's a struggle I've had ever since I've started this work.
Yes, and
the people that I've been on this website with, that's on my list, they still argue this. They still hold to that patriot movement.
There's people out there, there's people that have wrote books about the American Revolution, big, thick books.
Yep.
And they leave the Carrolls out of it.
Well, you see, that's like they leave the Jesuits out. See, I understand these patriots' hearts, Walter. I understand their heart. I understand they wanted to look at it in a good light, but see, because they've been lied to, they're not seeing the truth of the matter.
Because they don't, that's very, very true, because they don't, that's history that's been given to them. And quite simply, history that's never been taught to us.
That's right.
I mean, I didn't know anything prior to 1776. When you take, in John Daniel's book, I believe it's the seventh chapter, it's called English History, American Heritage. I mean, I asked the average American, do you know why you speak English? Why don't we, you know, why is it that we speak English?
Why isn't it German? Why isn't it French?
That's right.
Why isn't it Latin?
And I get a blank look, and I don't feel like I'm so smart because I know it, because 3 years ago I didn't know it. I'm 69 years old. So it's I say this with empathy, because once you understand this history, once you connect the dots, if you go to granddesignexposed.com, the dots are there. Then you go to Avenue of Light and connect the dots. The dots are connected. Between those two sites, you have all the research that you need because don't listen to us. Don't listen to us.
Study the documents. Study the documents that are presented.
Yes. I mean, we're just giving you some history. We're not selling books.
Thank you. Not passing place for money. Thank you.
That's right. That's right.
Buy the truth and sell it not.
Buy the truth and sell it not. That's absolutely right. Well, listen, we went over an extra 5 minutes, but all our listeners, most of our listeners are listening to the archives. And we just ask you, people out there, that if you got any questions, or Mike's got his phone number up there. There's two email addresses. You can contact Yerk. I mean, it's welcome. In other words, and if you have something to add, please call us. We'd like to fellowship with you and learn. We could all learn from each other. So anyway, Mike, would you like to say something as we sign off?
I just tell the folks my website is avenueoflight.com, and my phone number is 828-494-9368. And Brother Walter gave his. It's the Grand Design Exposed. And York's website is Godler66.
Yes. And so with that, we'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Bless all. Thank you.